Alright, 2 Timothy 3. Let's do a home run. Verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, that's Leviticus, is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for teaching, which is what we have been doing. That he says, for convincing you, to reprove, and for correction, epanathosis, the properliness, which is refers to instruction in righteousness. Alright, so we have a responsibility to be faithful. So it says, preach the message. Be instant in season and out of season. So there is a faithfulness that is demanded of a preacher of the gospel. That faithfulness is God's faithfulness, is first seen in his consistency in the Old Testament, from Genesis through to Malachi. And so you must bear that same faithfulness. You mustn't have a shadow of turning. Your animal must be the animal. Your lion must be the lion. Your lamb must be the lamb. Your water must be the water. Your blood must be the blood. You must be consistent. So he says to preach the word. He said the time will come that people will no longer endure sound doctrine. Ugainos the daskalia, that which is without fault. And sound doctrine is in this order. Sound doctrine will be found in the words of Jesus. You know, by the time you read Mark 7 and you see what he says, and Matthew 15 about washing items, and Hebrews 9:22 now says, 21 and 22 says, for all the things under the law were purified by blood. That there was also the vessels of ministry, you know, were all purified by blood. Which means that our service today is because Christ's blood has purified us. And that's the Spirit. Now, if you don't read Mark 7, where Jesus said, look, whatever a man takes in doesn't get to his heart. Then he says that he has purged our consciences to serve God. Hebrews 9:15. Which shows you that all those elements are descriptive of the Spirit. I mean, in my earlier days in studying, I remember one of the first things that I learned in Bible study. The very first things. I remember Reverend Paul Junodu said, I wasn't even really interested in teaching the Bible. It was in Retreat Ride 1990. He said that when you see fire, that is the emotion of the Spirit. That it is the Spirit's work. So, you know, that stuck. So when you see fire and you see wind, that I don't look at wind or fire, that is the Holy Ghost in demonstration. That when it's in demonstration, it will look like fire. So that stuck. So as I grew, many times when it comes to teaching, one learns to grow. Now, there are people who come around, I know they come around us, come around me, come around Living Word Media and all that, to just pick something. You know, but that's different from a student. A student doesn't do that. A student is learning. But when you have somebody who comes around what do you call these things? All these vulture, what do you call them? Scavengers. They just come around to pick something. What is asking people in services go? It's going to enter trouble. A whole lot of things we said in this series will make sense when you pick that book again. And you now read it. And all the corresponding text that we did, that's where your own will become own. Yeah. But when you are, I caught it. Character of God. Character of God. It's Moses. You know, we tell it is on law and prophets. That decorated of Christ. This some 6 years back. So we just say, Moses. He's Moses. And they, you know, just. We said, and most of them, I'll say, I'll continue this in 2-3 years. They are not patient. Look, by 2-3 years, don't worry. I won't need to hear you. You know, people are like that. And they create the greatest problems. Muslims don't give us as much problems because we know they read from the Quran. But when a Christian starts to, you know, become ambitious with God's word, and some of them will hear a bit of what you have said, and go and do seminar. Seminar. Some have started academy. A guy was telling me that he wanted to start a Bible school. Told me, I said, for who? He said, the body of Christ. And even me. We have no Bible school for the body of Christ. Because I'm not fit yet. I need to be cleansed. And you. You want to do Bible school? I said, I will come. Why not face your fellowship? The things you are teaching, they don't even understand. You don't even understand. You want to do for the body. So let's be patient. You know, Bible study is a long journey. A long journey. We keep getting better. Amen? Amen. So that's why a student is different from somebody who is a scavenger. Just comes around, picks one or two things and all that. Somebody was telling me that, I like this. She said, the last sermon is so great, I was on 6. I said, no. Go and start from 1. There are things that are in 1 that are not in 6. There are things that are in 2 that are not in 4. Say, but it's long. Where are you going to? He quickly wants to start his own academy. Everybody now has academy. You understand? That's the reason. So let me start from 6. At least that 6 is... So by the time we do 7, he said, won't you stop? You know, take it gradually. Because the person who started from 1 knew what started from 1. Started from 6, you'll just be hanging in the air. There will be too many things your audience will not know. You think they know, because they go, most of that, is the spirit and the flesh battling each other. It's like building a house without a foundation. Start from 1. Don't be, there'll be somebody who you will see, who comes around, who is doing, explaining Hebrews 6. How do you say, you know? Muses, explanation, exegesis. And then you will think, if I go and start from just, Ephesians 2:8, my congregation will think I don't know what. Let me start from Hebrews 6. The truth is that, you don't know what. Whether they say it or not. Start from 1. See that one doing 6. He will soon abandon it. I know. Very soon, before you know it, you become universalist, inclusionist. Very soon, you just say, let's do idol worship. Because you don't build a house from the start, from the top. Not even from the middle. You start from basics. Basics. I'm never in a hurry. This is Leviticus and this is Exodus. Don't be surprised in 5 years' time we'll go over it again. Say, but we have taught it before and we teach it again. See what I said? Where are you rushing to? The fellowship of the word of God is the blessedness. There's no rush, there's no hurry. Aren't you loving our study of God's word? Veils off your minds. I say, that's. And you go home just like the believers of old. Just enjoy in that friendship you have of God. That's all. So therefore, what do I do next? Alright, so he says, be faithful with how Christ taught. So we say sound doctrine will be found. There's an old rule. It's found in Genesis in the germ form. They say in types and shadows. In the laws of Moses, it says in the prophets is a prophecy, and then they say that in the Psalms, the sacred Psalms of David, and then you hear in the four Gospels in the teachings and parables of Jesus, in the Acts of the Apostles, Reformed scholars will say that renowned scholars will say that it's found in the practice and acts of the church, and then the Epistles is taught as a well laid down doctrine. That's a safe way to think. That is a sound doctrine. Is a statement or teaching that is contextually so in all of the scriptures. A sound doctrine. And so when you see the way Moses used the tithe, you should know by now, the way Moses used the tithe and the way Abraham gave the tithe, there are two different things. There are two different applications. And the way Jesus mentioned the tithe, for example, and the way the writer of Ruth mentioned the tithe, that is the reason why all the Old Testament priests, the New Testament writers, they didn't use it at all. It's not clear why they didn't use it. Because the tithe will stand like a parable. Like a parable. It will represent a great truth about commitment and dedication. Depending on which or you are looking at. If you are looking at the Hebrews 7, it's different from is it Numbers 28 now? Depends on, you know, what you are reading. Numbers 18. Where you are reading at each time. So, you must be faithful. Faithful. It says, preach the word, be instant in season. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. It says, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men. The word commit there is the word paratitemi, place before them. You can call that a Bible school, to place before. Now they are already faithful. That means they are believing men, faithful men, who shall be able to teach others. Place before them, para, put before them. They are now able to teach others. So that means that the interpretation of the Old Testament, right, is in itself a tradition of the body of Christ. In itself. No fanciful reading. In itself. See what we have done in this series. We have seen how all the writers said the same thing. No fanciful exploration of verses of the scriptures to do mischief. No. So we are to be faithful. So Christ died that year, to the didache of the apostles, to the didache. In Romans 6:17, Paul says that it was the same explanation that delivered you. That is, a wrong doctrine cannot have the new birth. Then he says that you will now be cautious of those who preach something contrary, Romans 16:17 and 18, to the explanation. Says you mark them and stay away. Say they don't serve themselves, the Lord Jesus, they serve their own appetites. So there is that explanation of Bible doctrine. We read any book of the Bible, we've done Leviticus, we've done Exodus, we're going to do Numbers and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is going to be the longest because of what it entails. You know, I call it Moses' teaching. So you will now see what the Old Testament was built upon, the prophecies, the statements, and so on and so forth. It becomes very clear. So we are to be faithful in teaching others. So we must teach others how Bible should be taught. What should be said? Faithfulness. So in Genesis 2:1, let's just run through. We said the book of Leviticus is a book of holiness, right? What the first holiness? Holiness of our salvation. We are called from darkness to light. Then we are cleansed in that call. Then how we should be separate from the world. And how our service of God, how we see God, how we serve Him should be revered, awed. When I read Leviticus on the kind of conduct that people should have in the temple of Moses, then I come to a service and I say we must know how we ought to behave. Because it is service unto the Lord. So I see the fact that I'm cleansed to be able to do this. So my service must be pure worship. Pure. Pure worship. And it won't start from how I dress. It starts from my heart. How I think. I remove the idols of Egypt from my heart. I remove the things of the flesh. Pride goes out of my heart. I remove strange thoughts. I just serve God in purity. Don't forget in Leviticus, it says before the Lord. Which means that what is vital is how you do it before the Lord. I must not be hypocritical in my service. So you can see that we are teaching spiritual growth. You, Can you see that you can teach spiritual growth from Leviticus? Can you see? Exactly. You can teach renewing the mind. The sanctified Christian living. Yeah. You are cleansed by his blood. He now says you also now should live in that holiness. So let's see Genesis 2. The key terms. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That's the first place you see the word sanctified. The word kwadash, to set aside. He rested, the word shabbath means to do nothing. Then he sanctified it. Something that is sacred. Two things. God's work is sacred. Whatever God does by his spirit should be treated in sacredness. What does it mean sacred? It's different from other things. What else? So, in Moses' laws, he says that before service, you must observe the Sabbath. In the Sabbath, you look at, you think about what God has done. It's all to remember what God has done. And so our service will now come from that love he has for us. So we are not serving to be accepted. We are serving because we are already accepted. We are not serving to be sanctified. No, we are serving because we are already sanctified. And Hebrews 4, 2 and 3 says that the word preached to us was preached unto them. The gospel preached to us was preached unto them, but the word didn't profit in them that heard it, not being mixed with faith. He says, so those which I have believed, we do enter into his rest. And he quotes Genesis 2, 3 again. That the works were finished on the foundation of the world, that the seventh day that God rested from all his works. So he therefore rested from our own works as well. So which means that the rest and the holiness of the scriptures is built on Genesis 2:3. God's work. God's rest. So Leviticus will be the practice of holiness. The practice of holiness. In conduct, in speech, in relationships, in service. The practice of holiness. The word Kwadesh, I would love you to read this book, B.E.O.L.E. We talked a whole lot about holiness there. The word Kwadesh is used 171 times. And it has a noun, that's the verb. It has a noun, Kwadesh. Q-U-O-D-E-S-H. Which is used 470 times. Oftentimes the noun is built on the verb. Leviticus in itself has it 90 times. About 30 to 40% of the use, 30% about, about 20% of its use in the entire scriptures is in Leviticus. So the word is used for God, is used for God's people. Exodus 13:2, Exodus 19, verse 16. Is used for God himself, Isaiah 29, verse 3. Is used for feasts, Exodus 12:16. For God's habitation, Exodus 15:13. For the Sabbath, Exodus 16:23. For garments, Exodus 28, verse 2. But let's look at Leviticus. Since that's our study, chapter 10. So, holiness or sanctification is firstly how something is treated. How it's treated. It's to put a special tag or special view or special treatment on a day, on a person, on actions. So if the holiness of God is primarily seen in that habitation that Moses built, which means that the first place I must treat God specially is in myself. So I am the first place where God is treated differently. My service to God starts from firstly how I see me. I am His temple, I am His house, and His house is holy. In me and with me is what He has finished. My faith, Hebrews 4:3. That day, the day of my salvation, holy. Kodesh. And so, I am that Kodesh of God, seen and treated as holy. So therefore, if I am that vessel of ministry, it means I must treat what I do from a holy being, a holy person, with reverence and awe. I mustn't use a holy thing for an unholy thing. I mustn't use the house of God to do other things. It must be to the Lord. That's why even marriage is unto the Lord. Even sex is unto the Lord. Even eating. You know, I must just see myself as God's vessel. That's, you know, the overall theme of Leviticus. Nothing is left. Leviticus 10:17. Wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place? Hence it is most holy. The Lord has given it to you to bear the iniquity of the commission, to make atonement for them before the Lord. So my service is called holy, and so on and so forth. So the first thing to see as holy is myself. My salvation is holy. So I take it from there. Now, don't forget that in the background of Leviticus will be the Exodus 19 verse 5 and 6. A nation of kings and priests. A holy nation. Why does he call them holy? Because they are taken out of Egypt. So they are a nation of holiness. And so their service to the Lord is that holy. Now look at Peter's narrative of that. Peter has a narrative to that that I want us to look at. That Exodus 19 verse 5 and 6. 1 Peter 2:4. The background of 1 Peter 2:4 is that Peter has said that, look, you are in verse 2. You are elect to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you, and peace multiplied. He has said all that, and you are sanctified. Then he says in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Is that Egypt? Is that Egypt? But as he which has called you is holy, that's Leviticus, so be ye holy, alright, in all manner of conversation. So he quotes Leviticus here, be ye holy, that's verse 16, as the Lord is holy, Leviticus 11:44. Why does he say that? Because if you look at that Leviticus very well, that Leviticus 11, he says, I have called you out, I have sanctified you. So don't eat abominable things. Be ye holy. In other words, since you are out of Egypt, don't eat like Egypt. So, has God called us to be holy? Yes, but in our conversation. Why are we to be holy? Because we are holy. Our salvation is a holy calling. So he says we should conduct ourselves in that holiness. Sanctify yourself. You read that Leviticus very well. He quotes two texts. Leviticus 11:44 and Leviticus 20:7. He says, don't take the food they take in Egypt. Don't take the abominable things. In other words, false doctrines, thoughts from the world, fleshly things and all that, because we have been called a holy priesthood, a holy nation. Look at verse, it says in verse 15, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation is the word anastrophe, used for behavior. Ephesians 4:22, 1 Timothy 4:12, be an example of a believer in conversation. Hebrews 13:7, For example, and James 3:13 also highlights all of that. But here, Peter says, in all manner of conversation, for it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. That is, sojourning in fear will be what? Their journey. Alright, so that journey will be a walk in the spirit in the earth. For as much as you know you are not redeemed, that's which language? Which language is 18? Exodus. Redeemed with corruptible sins as silver and gold from your vain conversation. Look at the word conversation again. By traditions from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was made manifest in the last times for you. By him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 22. Seeing you have purified your souls, Leviticus, right, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that you love one another with a pure heart. Those are the feasts. Are we together here? Are those the feasts? Yeah. So, that the blood of Christ is the Spirit. Then he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but being corrupted by the word of God which lives and abides forever. For all flesh as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass, the grass withers and the flower withers falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the gospel, word which by the gospel is put unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, Leviticus, those are the meats, right? Okay? And all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. As new born babes, that is the ceremony of the word, that you may go thereby. That's the meal. Are you there? Are you there? Alright, good. So if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone is a lamb of men and chosen of God and precious, it says you also as living stones are built up what? A spiritual house. That's Exodus. Then he says a holy priesthood, that is what? Leviticus. To offer all spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by, that's Exodus and Leviticus together, right? Exodus, a spiritual house. Leviticus, you are that house. So you offer spiritual sacrifices. So all the sacrifice, when I read Leviticus, I see my service. Pure, simple devotion, without strange meat, without strange blood, but with the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, the Spirit of God. So I read my service. I read Paul's Romans 12:1. I present myself a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable already to God by Jesus Christ according to Peter. So it says here, wherefore it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believes on him shall not be condemned, confounded. Unto therefore which you believe is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which you build as disallowed, the same as it made in the hand of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to the stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto we are appointed. But you are a chosen generation. That is Exodus 19, right? Verse 5 and 6. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises. Now, stop there. By calling you a priesthood, what is Peter saying? All of us are ministers. Called you. That is the word called. Is the meaning of Leviticus. That is the Hebrew of Leviticus, called. So, we are called from darkness to light, and we are called to serve Him. To show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of Egypt, right? Darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not the people, or not people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Then it says, dearly beloved, verse 11, I beseech you as what? That's Numbers. We see, when we get to Numbers, we see the strangers. That's Numbers. You know, that's Numbers now. Numbers is now the journey, the actual journey. That's where you now, they doubted. That's where they did all sorts of things. That's where they murmured. That's where everything, you know, Numbers is your, Numbers typically will be your First Corinthians 10. Are you there? Do not lose the things that the Lord said after. That's Numbers. Numbers, of course there's some Exodus there, but Numbers is there. Where you now find, you know, their unbelief, where you have they hardened their hearts in the day of provocation. That is Numbers. For 40 years, that's Numbers. So you say, now you, dearly beloved, that you are strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It's here you hear about Balaam, you hear about Balak, you hear about Balaam, pardon me, you hear about false prophets, you hear about familiar spirits, you hear about false doctrine, you hear about so many mixed multitudes, the works of the flesh, you know. So he says, you are a priest. See, look at this very well. Which means that Christian conduct is built on two facts. Number one, the family fact of the believer. I am of God. I am a son of God. And critically, the servanthood of the believer. Without a servanthood mentality, a believer's conduct cannot be said to be acceptable to God. There must be a Leviticus to the Exodus. There must be service. There must be service. A Leviticus. And that service must be holy to God. It can't be charity. No. It can't be politics. It has to be holy. And that holiness has to be the holiness of his deliverance. Whatever will be a service unto God must be built upon the Exodus. I am the Lord your God. It must be built on what he did for us in Christ in redemption. Does that make sense to you? So it's holy. So the background fact of our service is our salvation. It's built on that Exodus. So to show forth the praises of him that has called us cannot be the kind of car you drive. No. So when you hear to reign in life, I say to reign in life will mean to reign over unbelievers. So how far have we been reigning? For 2,000 years, how many reigns have you reigned? For people have been reigning. Preaching the gospel, amen. Undoing the works of darkness. Walking in the spirit. Hallelujah. That's a reign. So don't say, I got a promotion last week. We are reigning. You are really reigning. R-A-I-N-I-N-G. And your own reign is even, is with thunderstorm. So, basically here, Peter brings in service, which means that just like Jesus mentored his disciples to ministry, you can't remove Leviticus from the Christian walk. Leviticus is, I'm called from the world, I'm called to serve God. You know, I used to hate this term, save to serve. It was headed by Bishop Gideon Orire then in Ibadan. He said, what do you mean by save to serve? But save to God. We're his children. And we said all those in excitement. Well, one day we now told ourselves one truth. We're sitting down at the alumni center in the University of Ibadan. Then we said, but really, are we not saved to serve? Well, that my mischievous friend, Larry Amuson, but said, are we not saved to serve? MOG. He said, what, are we not serving now? He said, we are serving. Don't we come upon those who are not serving? Say, we do. Say, we just don't like that man. Yeah, that's your problem. We are actually saved to serve. And that's the truth. We are saved as sons in the Exodus. And then we are serving him as sons. Okay? We are that royal priesthood. That holy nation. That peculiar people. So the book of Leviticus will be a book of conduct. A book of salvation and sanctification. And then the practical sanctification. He has called you out. He has cleansed you. Then he says you are going to abstain from this. So staying away from false doctrine is holy living. Staying away from fleshly corruption by unbelievers is holy living. He says performing holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Epitelio. That is, you will now show forth that quality of who you are. The fact that you are God's temple, you are God's house, you are Christ, you are righteousness. He now says you will now perform that. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Peter says you will show forth the praise of him who has called you. Matthew 20:28. He says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve, to give himself a ransom for many. Then he says to them that he that will be the chief amongst you must serve. He that will be the greatest will be your servant. That's Leviticus for you. You now begin to stand in the stead for others. You begin to pray for others. You begin to give to others. Your life now becomes that living sacrifice. And that's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Just like the Levites will cleanse their ears. It means that you will guard your heart. You will walk in the spirit. You will feel loss of the flesh. Cleansing things that you hear. And that is everything that the believer does to guard himself. Is to present his service holy and acceptable. So when I read Leviticus, I read spiritual growth, I read commitment to the gospel, I read sanctified Christian living, I read how I must not in any way have non-spiritual relationships, I mustn't have relationships with unbelievers and mingle with Egypt, I mustn't live like a man that has not been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. So Leviticus for me will be like the hypodegma that Jesus showed in John 13. I wash your feet so that you can wash another's feet. He's not asking them to carry bowls of water, or rather to serve one another. So as I read Leviticus, it points to my deep consecration, my consecration to God. So if the Levite stays in one place to serve God, he dedicates his days and moments, well, I also stay as God's house. And I'm committed to the house of God. I'm committed to the service of the saints. I'm committed to the service of others. So, Leviticus will be about the food I eat. I mustn't be careless about the things that I eat. I must ensure that I'm discerning. I stay away from false doctrine, Romans 16, 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 6, 4 and 5. I stay away from those who don't preach the doctrine of Christ. Matthew 16, 12. He told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They are hypocrisies. Those are strange meats that I must stay away from. Thoughts. Matthew 15, verse 9 down to 12, 13, 14, where I begin to take heed of thoughts that come. It's not food that you eat. It's not about not wearing golden shoe or golden. It's looking at whether your heart has gold in it. So people may not have anything gold in their pocket, but gold is the identification of their heart. So he's saying the issue is the thoughts on your heart. When a believer has money, the Bible says he mustn't be high-minded. That means the money will not be on his heart, it will be in his pocket. And that's how the sanctified Christian living is done. Leviticus will be a book of holy living. A holy people carrying a holy service and living a holy life to the Lord. So Leviticus is a book of spiritual growth. I read it. I see the kind of relationship. And there's something very instructive about Leviticus. As you read the middle part, not necessarily, not totally the middle, but the 16 talks about the atonement. Then 23 towards the end and 26 talks about the feasts. In other words, you know, I remember often, very often, our Christ is a satisfaction for sins. So I am not serving to be accepted. And also, I must celebrate Christ's sacrifice in my conduct among all believers. That's why Paul will say, if you now come together and somebody is hungry, somebody is full, he said you are eating damnation to yourselves. You must show the Lord's death, not the Passover lamb of Moses' Passover feast, Exodus 12 and 13, but the Lord's death, Lord's sacrifice for sins, the Lord's commitment to our lives, the Lord's, you know, love. We must show it till He comes. So I believe that from henceforth we read these books of the Old Testament as a message of faith to us. Like I said earlier, you pay attention to the words. And then, you know, don't focus on the imageries and the pictures. Leviticus is best read reading the words. What is the bread? What's the blood? What are the four-footed beasts? What are the animals that shouldn't be eaten? What's the blood? What's the water? What's the meal? The meal refers to the meal of the Spirit, the blood of the Spirit. Amen. And the house of the Spirit. I guess at this point we can safely say we are done. Praise the Lord.